While everyone's getting settled in here, let's take a minute just to look at the question here. You can discuss with those around you. If you were following Jesus for the past 3 years of his ministry, what would you be thinking as he ascends into the clouds? So just think about that for a minute, and we'll discuss that after everyone gets settled. Acts 1:9 through 11 reads, "And when he, Jesus, had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven?'" So last week we discussed how Jesus looked back on those 3 years, that ministry, right? How would we spend our lives, the last 3 years of our lives? How would we spend that time? So now you just spent this time with Jesus, his ministry, for 3 years. What would you be thinking as he's going and he's ascending up into heaven? What are your thoughts? Yeah, it would be hard to know what you would think, right? Is he coming back? Yes. Yes. I want to go with you. Don't leave me. Yeah. What else? Can we do this without him? He's leaving. Whoa. Can we do it? Yeah. I guess this kingdom isn't a kingdom of this earth like he's been trying to teach me. This is becoming more real. He's leaving again. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, what's next? Yeah, what's to come now? Some of us might be just like they're doing, looking, quiet. What does this mean? So
he said, "I will not leave you orphan."
Mm-hmm. Yes. They could hold on. They could think about, there's a grieving here. He's leaving them again, but they could hold on to that promise that I'm still with you. Even though you're seeing me leave, I'm still with you. And they could hold on to that. Yeah, and memories. You can think about memories. What a blessing it was to be with him for those 3 years and remember all those things. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah, it's another proof. It's another proof that he is the Son of God, and they were inspired by that. They went and rejoiced and had great joy. All right, so they might be remembering some of these passages or these conversations they had with Jesus, how he said, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me." They have to remember these things that they were taught during those 3 years. What is this different relationship now, being a part of God's kingdom, of hating his own father and mother, wife, children, brother, himself, bearing your own cross, thinking about these passages that we've already studied, looking at in this passage in Luke, how, like Jack just mentioned, looking at this time after he's been resurrected and he's giving them this great commission, and looking at reminding, okay, this had to happen. He suffered. He was raised on the third day. Now it's our job. Repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations. So again, how is this going to happen? What's this next step? What's going to be happening? So in this class this morning, we're going to really focus on the book of Acts. So we've talked about God of life dies. We've talked about the Messiah needed to die. The humiliation in the cross. We reviewed the cross in all four Gospels, looking at the cross from Jesus' eyes, what he saw, what he said. Bill did a little rewind action and looked at from the cross, how did it affect his ministry coming up to the cross, this hour that was to come. Now we're going to look at right after the cross in the book of Acts. How did it affect the apostles, the disciples who just spent this time with Jesus, who were given this commission, this great commission? How did it affect them and their lives? And we should be able to see this morning, there's been a change from being with Jesus and what he's taught in the cross and everything in this proof that he is the Son of God. There's this change now in the book of Acts that the apostles should see. And you should be able to see it as we read the events. So the cross in history, no moment did more to shape the world and change the direction of humanity than the crucifixion did. It is an event that is universal and uniquely personal. It is seemingly insignificant in its moment and yet life-altering for everyone who has ever lived. It is the moment that all of history leads to, and we studied a lot about that, the scriptures. Jesus, after he was resurrected, had to say, this was all part of God's plan, right? The scriptures were looking to this event of what needed to happen. The Son of God needed to suffer and die on the cross and be raised on the third day. And then that all time since is measured against, and that's where we're going to start that conversation this morning in Acts. But why? Because he rose on the third day, because he conquered sin and death, because we can see the severity of sin in the cross, but also God's justice and his love for us. And while we were yet still sinners, dead in our sins, separated from God, God loved us and he gave us life once more. So first, what I'd like to do is just read a passage in Acts chapter 5. And I think this gives us a good glimpse of remembering what Jesus did in his ministry and how he was spreading this the beginning of the good news, and then how it carries over to the apostles and what they do. So I'll have Josh read this, and we're going to go through the fifth chapter of Acts here.
Now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the rest dared to join them, but the people held them in high esteem. And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. The people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. But the high priest rose up, and all who were with him, that is, the party of the Sadducees, and filled with jealousy, they arrested the apostles and put them in public prison. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and began to teach. But when the officers came, they did not find them in the prison, so they returned and reported, we found the prison securely locked and the guards standing at the doors. But when we opened, we found no one inside. Now when the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these words, they were greatly perplexed about them, wondering what this would come to. And someone came and told them, look, the men who you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then the captain with the officers went and brought them, but not by force, for they were afraid of being stoned by the people. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest questioned them, saying, we strictly charge you not to teach in this name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us? But Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him in his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in honor by all the people, stood up and gave orders to put the men outside for a little while. And he said to them, men of Israel, take care what you are about to do with these men. For before these days, Thaddeus rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. He was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census and drew away some of the people after him. He too perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this undertaking is of men, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God. So they took his advice, and when they had called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ is Jesus.
So in that passage, what stands out to you as similar to when you think about Jesus's ministry? Boldness. Yes, boldness. A change, a transition from what did they just do when he was crucified? They fled, right? But now you see some boldness. I heard something over here. Persistence. Yes. This again with the boldness, this persistence that, hey, we have something to do here. We have the good news to spread. We're gonna stay focused on this. What else? Yes. Yes. Yeah, and we see this persecution that's starting now. Like they're facing these same leaders that just crucified. They see what these leaders can do to Jesus. And again, this boldness, this courage to face the beatings, to face this persecution, and they knew this was going to be coming. Anything else? Yeah. Yeah, they're continuing Jesus' ministry of doing the will of the Father. This focus on we are going to do the will of the Father over what man says or man asks us to do. Anything else? Yes. Joy. Yes. Right. Again, instead of running away, being scared, fearful, this joy that they have. Yeah. Yeah. So when the persecution comes, they're prepared for this. They know this is the cross they're going to bear, that they are ready for this persecution that they're going to face. So what I'd like to read through now is a few more passages of how in Acts we see the crucifixion discussed and how Jesus was crucified. And you'll see these words of him being put to death and being crucified. I want to read through this section, and there's different passages here Josh is going to read through, and just really focus on and look at what is mentioned about or how does Acts give us these events of the crucifixion, and what does it mean in the book of Acts?
Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God, with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. You crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. But Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And Peter saw it. He addressed the people, Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this, or why do you stare at us? As though by our own power or piety, we have made him walk. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate, when he had decided to release him. But you denied the Holy and Righteous One, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the author of life, whom Jesus raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses, and his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given this man the perfect health in the presence of you all. On the next day, the rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, But what power or by what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, and said to them, Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed? Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those whom announced beforehand the coming of the Righteous One, whom you have now betrayed and murdered. You who received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul went in, and he was, as was his custom, and on the three Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and proving that it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, and saying, This Jesus, whom I proclaim to you, is the Christ.
So how is the cross discussed with that overview of Acts and those different events? How was the cross discussed in those passages? Yes. The cross was planned from the beginning. It was God's plan all along. What else did you see or notice in those passages? It was necessary. Good. It's part of God's plan. It was necessary that it would happen. Yeah, that's an interesting concept, right? You crucified Jesus. There is fingers pointed there. You crucified him, whom you crucified. But yet, it was God's plan all along that that was going to happen, that they allowed that to happen. Yes, yeah, that's good. So you still see this persistence of teaching this about Christ's suffering on the cross and this crucifixion. And this teaching along throughout all of Acts, this was a part of their teaching, which is interesting. So if we had a leader, and that leader that we thought was going to be our king, and he then was crucified, and the Jewish leaders look like they are the ones that won. They killed our king, and it's something that maybe we would think, do we want to talk about the cross? Is that something we would want to talk about to people? To say, hey, our ruler was crucified. Which they think is a thing, we talked about this. This was something that was shameful to be crucified. Only the worst of people would be crucified. But yet this was something they taught through all of Acts. Because it meant something. It meant something more. It wasn't about Christ was crucified and he lost, but we want Christ won. Jesus won through the crucifixion, and it's critical to the ministry of Jesus, of the book of Acts, of spreading this good news that look what he did for you to have this forgiveness and this now life, like we talked about, and what we've gained through the cross. So the cross was proclaimed. It was not hidden in shame. It was something that they went out and they spread this as they were spreading the gospel. So next I'd like to break up into six groups here as we give an overview of Acts. I want to look at these six different areas. So how did the cross impact the kingdom, prayer, people's response, salvation, community, and courage? So we're going to break up into these groups. We'll start with this side this time. So let's start with the kingdom here in this group. So I want you to read these passages and just look at how did the cross impact the kingdom in these passages? And then we'll split this group in half a minute here. How did the cross impact this topic of the kingdom? What did you all come up with? Mm-hmm. Good. The king, it's now a great equalizer. Thinking about there's a king and then there's subjects of the king or the people of the king. Now it's open to everyone. It's not limited to this one area, this one king, this one kingdom. It's for everyone. Anything else? Yeah, it changed their perspective of what the actual kingdom was. We were talking about that. And we talked about that at the end of Luke even. They were like, We thought he was going to be the redeemer of Israel, right? This kingdom that they were waiting for. But when we look at the passages, again, they ask the question at the beginning of Acts, restore the kingdom to Israel. It's interesting here, the response from Jesus is, all right, let me go back and tell you again, right? He didn't say, let me go back and tell you again, where let me review the scriptures. It's almost like they knew this restoration was going to look different. Is this the time that it's going to happen? Maybe they thought that. Maybe they were still confused of what that looked like. But I think at this point, they're saying, hey, we know that something's going to happen, but is this the time? And then also looking at how they preached the good news about the kingdom of God. Now they know what this kingdom of God is. They're preaching this, of what it means to be a part of this kingdom. And then also from the beginning, you know, he's talking to them. Jesus is talking to them about the kingdom. At the end of Acts, going to Acts 28:30, they're proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. So this kingdom has been established in the book of Acts. So it changed their kingdom focus. We see in Acts how the cross has changed their kingdom focus. So next, let's talk about prayer here. What did you see, this group front section, what did you see through the passages on prayer? Good. Mm-hmm. Good. That's great. So they're praying now. They have this devotion to prayer. like we saw in Jesus' ministry, they now have this devotion to prayer. They're changing how they're praying, and they know it's important. Their relationship with God has changed. We can see that through their prayer lives. And this idea that they have of why they need to pray and why they need God and what should be happening, what they should be praying about, has all changed. Anything else? Anybody has anything to add to that? Yeah, they were filled. They had the Holy Spirit during that time as they were praying. Good. So all with one accord, they were coming together in prayer. And they prayed together. They gathered together, which here it says, and when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. You can see that their prayer had this prayer of boldness, like Mason said. And after fasting and praying, and at midnight, Paul and Silas were prisoners, and they were praying. They had this new devotion to prayer in these passages. So the cross allowed access to the Father through their prayer. They're praying for courage. Good. Definitely. Yes. Courage is key to the Christian life. And to have that courage to spread the gospel and to fight off sin and all the things that we have to encounter. Yeah. Yeah. Even still today, as we face anything, we can use this as an example of courage to face anything that comes our way. They prayed for it. And keeping that into our prayers. Good. That's a great point. All right, so the next section here on response. So there's a lot of passages here because there's a lot of responses in Acts. Anything that you want to bring out from the response of the cross that you want to highlight from these passages? Yes, good. So the message was going out. They were hearing this message of the cross. They were hearing what it meant. Some were enraged by it. They were upset, angry from it. Some responded other ways. They believed in the cross. There was many different responses that happened, and they saw that it was going to be so impactful that people were going to be persecuted because of this message. Mm-hmm. Yes, there's always a strong response. It provoked this response for the people for what it meant. So just to skim through these passages real quick. So they were cut to the heart. They turned, right? They repented, changed their lives, and were baptized from this. Some were greatly annoyed. Can you imagine these Jewish leaders? They just put to death Christ. They put Jesus to death. They thought maybe they could get rid of this new teaching that was happening. And they wanted this to go away. And now his disciples and his apostles are coming and teaching the same thing that Christ did and having the same kind of for miracles and bringing this new kingdom. Greatly annoyed. Because they were proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. They arrested them. Some, though, many believed, 5,000 here. They were enraged after Stephen's teaching, they ground their teeth at him. Can you imagine that? They were enraged, grinding their teeth at Stephen after his speech. Some were asking, what prevents me from being baptized? They had this response of rejoicing. Believed, some unbelieved. They were divided by who believes and who doesn't believe. Some were persuaded. Many were jealous. These men, they've turned the world upside down. They wanted away with such a fellow from the earth. They wanted to kill them and get rid of Paul after he was teaching this new gospel that would also go to the Gentiles. They were alarmed. So Felix was alarmed. And then he kind of has when I get opportunity here. And then you look at here, such a great change of a person from Saul to Paul. And what we see, what really can happen through the gospel, through the cross, how impactful can it be? It's amazing if you just look at his story of turning from persecuting the Jews and trying to get rid of them and stoning them to then being convinced that he was a follower. And so he was raging fury against them. He persecuted them. He was convinced in opposing them. But then he saw the light. He turned from the darkness to light, the power of Satan to God, and he received forgiveness of sins. And that changed Paul's life. Good. Galatians 2:20, he attributes his change to the crucifixion. And then others thought Paul was out of his mind when he was sharing this story. And then Agrippa, in a short time, would you persuade me? So people were questioning, should they be persuaded by this gospel message? So the cross provoked a response to people. And do they believe? Do they not believe? What are they going to do with this gospel? All right, so now let's look at salvation. Anything you want to highlight from the passages of salvation here? Yeah. Yes. Right. Yes. Yes. Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's very key that the verses we talked about, this repentance, this turning to Jesus, turning from this walk of this world to turning from the darkness to the light, all of these turning things that needed to happen. Yes. Salvation is in Christ. Good. Yeah. Great point. Yeah, so the cross brought about the salvation, the forgiveness of sins. And even in our baptism, we are replicating that, this dying to sin and being raised up. Yes, that's right. So this salvation allowed this change that was to come. So again, these passages of repenting and being baptized for forgiveness of sin and how it's a promise that was for everyone. The salvation didn't just come to a limited group of people like we talked about with the kingdom. It was promises for you, for your children, for all who are far off, for everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. So the salvation was not limited. It was for everyone. And many responded to this call for salvation. Christ would suffer. He thus fulfilled and repent therefore and turn back and that your sins may be blotted out. It allowed our sins to be removed in a refreshing that came from the Lord. And we could turn from our wickedness. Salvation was in no one else. No other name can we find salvation except for Jesus through the cross. And the salvation was of God in the end of Acts 28. Therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen. So the cross is the promise of salvation fulfilled for everyone. All right, this last two here. So community, how do we see this change in community from the cross? Good. So it really brought them together. Those that were followers of Christ, the cross allowed them to bring spiritually together, physically together. You see this community of people that were now aligned and focused on the same goals. What else? That's a great point. So the cross was such a profound event that it changed them to do some hard things to support each other because they were going to be going through persecution. They were going to be challenged in their lives. And it really brought them together to face those things and do hard things. And the cross is what did that, the message of the cross. So they devoted themselves together. They were in fellowship, breaking of bread, prayers. All came upon every soul. They believed together, all things in common. Day by day they were together. They were doing things together daily with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the full number of those who believed, one heart and soul, everything in common. And this commonality was the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and grace was upon them. And you yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or to visit anyone another nation. We see this change now with the Gentiles. The Jewish people did some hard things of now allowing another group of people to be a part of their group because God shows no partiality through the cross. That's right. What a great point. That breaking of bread brought people together throughout all the world on the first day of the week to meet together to remember his crucifixion. So it changed the community of fellowship. Sorry, I missed. I went too long here. But the last point of courage, I think we talked about this boldness that came from the cross. It's a cross of wisdom and boldness. So just to sum it all up, the cross was proclaimed and not hidden in shame, kingdom focused, access to the Father, response provoking, promise of salvation fulfilled for everyone, community of fellowship, wisdom and boldness. Thank you for all your comments, and Bill will continue the classes Wednesday and Sunday this next week.